1400 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is December 29th, 2021. We're almost over. We're almost to the end. It is 1900 UTC. I am alive, as you can tell. I'm still congested, still bouncing around in the health department. I was disappointed yesterday when I took my at-home test and it was negative, or positive, sorry. But, you know what? Whatever. I'm going to wait 10 days. It's 10 days since I first exhibited symptoms today. But I still sound like this, so I don't know. I'm just going to probably hang out until... I'll just stay at home. I'll just isolate at home until I feel fine again, all the way. Working from home, so after the holiday break is going on this week, so it's just time off. I don't like talking about it because I feel bad about people who are working. Anyway... Bob Jonquin, thank you. There we go. It deepens my voice up. All right. Well, so we've got a lot of news today. There's a lot of stuff going on. Death will not release me. Man, and that's so apropos because I was organizing the news today and I found that, you know what? Usually we start with death because there's a lot of death in the world, but today, instead of death, there's a lot of abject suffering and terrible, terrible people just existing in a horrible state or in a pitiful state. And so, let's start in Syria, and we'll start the way we always start:
world news.
But let's do it first. This is not a life. The displaced Syrians selling trash to survive. A vast landfill on the outskirts of the Syrian city of Raqqa, once the Islamic State group's capital. Men, women, and young children scour the rubbish for scrap metal or anything else they can sell. They are just some of the millions of Syrians displaced by a decade of conflict that's left around 9 in 10 of the population living in poverty. The story is accompanied by a video that just shows a large group of children without shoes just kind of combing through rubble. And so I was like, oh man, the human suffering there. You can watch the video on France 24 if you'd like, if you hate people or if you want to feel better about yourself by seeing how bad others have it. But you don't have to stay in Syria. You can also go to China. In China, public shaming returns amid COVID fears. Police in southern China have been captured on camera parading 4 alleged offenders through the streets in a public shaming exercise. They were paraded through the streets of Jingxi City in Guangxi Province in hazmat suits. The shaming drew mixed reactions online, including in state-owned media. Images and video of the incident took place. They're selling the scrap metal, I guess. Hold on, I can find out. But hazmat. I'm posting in com a link to a photo of the people in hazmat suits. It's sdf.org/l/fx. That's Lima/Foxtrot X-ray. The shaming drew mixed reactions online. Images and video of the incident, which took place on December 28th, show 4 men in hazmat suits and face shields being walked through an area of the city by police. They were carrying placards displaying their names and photos. Some people could be seen watching the event unfold. State-run Guangxi Daily said the disciplinary action deterred border-related crimes and encouraged compliance with epidemic prevention and control. State media have described the current COVID situation in the border area as severe and complex. China, the country where COVID-19 was first discovered at the end of 2019, has recorded a total of 4,849 deaths and 114,000 cases, with 203 new cases reported on Tuesday. The The rest of the world wish they only had 203 new cases. It pursues strict zero COVID strategy, using mass testing and lockdowns to stop outbreaks, and has a vigorous vaccination program with 86% of its population now fully vaccinated. The shaming parade was met with mixed reaction on social media site Weibo, where a hashtag about it was the top trending topic. Some people said the exercise reminded them of the public shamings from hundreds of years ago, while others empathized with the efforts needed to control the virus near the border. What is more terrifying than parading the street is the many comments that support this approach, one user wrote. State-owned Beijing News said that the measure seriously violates the spirit of the rule of law and cannot be allowed to happen again. So, there you go. People in uproar over that, but don't worry. Those guys, we lost everything. Brazil floods leave thousands destitute. Carlos Batista da Silva holds his hands above his head, indicating on a wall the level where flood waters reached inside his northern Brazil home. Although he was warned of the approaching deluge, his house was submerged before he could react, as Bahia State faces a heavy cost from the flooding caused by torrential rains that burst two dams and left at least 21 people dead. We wanted to take out the furniture, but there wasn't time. We lost everything. The only thing we could save was the television. De Silva told AFP as he threw out a sofa, armchairs, and microwave that were all destroyed. Neighbor Vitor Gomes Santos was taken by surprise when the water entered his home in Atapatinga. The wardrobe, bed dresser, we lost everything. More than 77,000 people have been displaced, almost half of which have needed emergency accommodation. With 136 municipalities in a state of emergency, close to 500,000 people have been affected by the floods. A 19-year-old that drowned in the town of Ilhaus became the 21st victim since the end of November. Authorities say it has been the heaviest December rainfall in Bahia in 32 years. In some towns, In some towns, a month's worth of rain fell in a matter of hours. While the waters are receding in some areas, leaving behind mountains of rubbish in others, the risk is increasing due to the opening of floodgates. So yeah, dams busting really cause trouble. And wouldn't you know it, building dams is one of those big projects people like to get involved with. But yeah, it's just absolutely terrible. And as climate change continues, you know, only the countries with enough money to weather it are going to be okay. But don't worry, we'll try and work on green energy in a minute. Let's talk about some more tragedy and suffering. Three people are dead. Three intensive care patients in Ukraine have been killed in a hospital fire sparked by a candle lit to remember a recent COVID-19 death. I don't know why they thought an open flame in a hospital was a good idea, but another four people are being treated for severe burns following the blaze in Kosiv, western Ukraine, on Tuesday. According to officials, it began when a candle was lit by a member of staff near five oxygen concentrators, which instantly caught fire. In the latest in the number of deadly hospital fires during the pandemic, pure oxygen in cylinders, which are commonly found in hospitals and have been heavily relied on to treat COVID-19 patients, is highly flammable. Yeah, a staff member didn't think that the oxygen tanks would get on light on fire. Local emergency services said the ignorance of the elementary laws of physics and disregard for safety rules have led to irreparable losses. The local prosecutor's office is investigating the incident. According to a statement, the people who died were two women and a man, while three doctors suffered burns. Oxygen cylinders are believed to have been a factor in a number of hospital fires, both in Ukraine and elsewhere. In February, there were two deadly hospital fires in Ukraine. In September, we talked about one in North Macedonia. There were 10 people that died in Turkey, and there have been several in India, if you remember. We talked about those probably a year ago. But yeah, there are big signs over all oxygen cylinders and on oxygen cylinders even that say, hey, don't do this. So anyway, so those people's families will not be seeing their loved ones again. Well, don't worry. Tragedy can happen in the United States too. If you remember last week, we talked about that girl that the cop shot, the little 14-year-old girl who's in a changing room. Well, it's even worse than we'd originally thought. A mother was holding her daughter when she was shot, and she died in her arms. A mother, whose 14-year-old girl was killed by a stray police bullet in a clothes shop in Los Angeles last week, says her daughter died in her arms. Valentina Orellana Peralta and her mother, who moved to the U.S. from Chile, were in the store when an officer fired at a suspect who was attacking a woman. The bullet pierced a wall and hit her. Soledad Peralta wept as she described begging officers to help treat her injured daughter, saying they just left her lying there. The girl's father, Juan Pablo Orellana, who flew to Los Angeles from Chile, told reporters his daughter had once told him the U.S. was the safest country in the world. He said the actions of the police officers involved had been negligent, adding, "I will not rest until the last day, until all these criminals are in jail." But if you know, in the United States, police have pretty much immunity to kill anyone they'd like, for whatever reason, really. That's not happening. L.A. Police Chief Michael Moore has promised a thorough, complete, and transparent investigation into what he called a chaotic incident. Exactly. In a statement read by a lawyer, Valentina's mother recounted how she and her daughter had heard a commotion and screaming outside when they were trying on dresses for a birthday party. They had sat down together, hugged each other, and prayed. Ms. Peralta said she felt something hit her daughter, throwing them both to the ground. Valentina's body went limp, she said. She tried to wake her up, but shaking her, but she didn't wake up. She screamed for help, but no one came. When the police finally came, they took me out of the dressing room and left my daughter lying there. I wanted them to help her, but they just left her there lying alone. Ms. Peralta said, seeing a son or daughter die in your arms is one of the most profound pains any human can imagine. Emergency calls indicate the suspect had a gun, but no gun was found. This is almost always the case. I can't read any more of this story because it'll just piss me off. You don't need to... I don't know how much training you need in LA to be a cop. I do know that if you want to be a cop in certain parts of South California, you got to be a member of a police gang. So there's that. Congrats on dinner, Publius. I need to order some lunch too. Let's keep moving. There is more death and destruction, and we got. Let's do one more story and then we'll play a song because I'm worked up. I'm hot. At least 31 killed in a Sudan gold mine collapse. At least 31 miners were killed in Sudan on Tuesday when a rudimentary gold mine collapsed. Khaled Dawa, the head of the state-run mineral resources company, said the tragic accident occurred near New Nahud, a town about 500 kilometers west of Khartoum. One person survived, but eight others are still missing. Another official at the company said four miners were killed at the same time in January. Authorities at the time shut down the mine and installed security, but a couple of months ago they left. About 2 million artisanal miners produce about 80% of the country's annual gold production. Artisanal gold mining is a dangerous occupation in Sudan, largely due to ramshackle infrastructure. Sudan has recently suffered runaway inflation and embarked on tough economic reforms, including slashing subsidies on petrol and diesel, and launching a managed currency float. Is also reeling from political turbulence in the wake of a coup led by military chief General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan on October 25th. So yeah. It's pretty amazing that a country with a major export of gold, one of the most valuable minerals in the world, suffers so much. It's just really sad. It's frustrating. It's frustrating there's so much suffering in the world, and there doesn't seem to be a bottom of it. It's people digging holes in the ground and dying with no regulations. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and play a song because I'm dying, as you can tell. And I'm just worked up. I get mad about all this. We got more news coming after this. This is Paint It Black from the Rolling Stones.
Black, with flowers and my love. hope never to come back.
I see people turn their heads and quickly look away. Like a newborn baby, it just happens every day.
I look inside myself and see my heart is black. I see my red door, I must have it into black.
Fade away and not have to face the facts. It's not easy facing up when your whole world is black.
No more will my green seagull turn a deeper blue. I could not foresee this thing happening to you.
If I look hard enough into the setting sun,
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. sorry about that. I forgot that I had reverb on, and then it sounded funny. It made me laugh, which then made me cough, which then made me realize that I'm still sick. Sometimes it's easy to forget. Delivery note. I have COVID. Please leave at door. All right. And you know what? I'm going to add a different note. I think that's better. Thank you for delivering. All right. Sorry about that. I'm just setting a delivery note. I'm going to order some food here in a second. All right. Well, we got more news. Yeah, what? More news? Yeah, we got more news.
World news.
But before we do get into that, I want to thank you for listening to Anon Radio, which is powered by SDF. And SDF's powered by everyone that's listening and that joins and is a member of SDF. There is 1,001 things to do. There's Gopher. You can... do a Gemini blog. If you want to get into Gemini or Gopher, the Castor browser compiles really easy, smooth and easy on Ubuntu and in other Linux distributions that I've compiled it on. So don't be afraid of Gemini. It's a pretty cool little protocol, an alternative. Also, there's Mastodon, PixelFed, replace your social media. There's just a million and one things. I love everything that SDF does and the fact that it's an alternative. You know, if you're mad about all the big tech companies out there, SDF is one of those smaller tech companies that provides all the different services you want. And you don't gotta freaking deal with these fucking assholes. Anyway, that's just me. Please stick around at 1930 UTC. We've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which is a blast. It's another fun show. You definitely want to stick around for that. Oh man, let's try and get it. Let's take a deep breath together. All right, no cough, no lightheadedness. Let's go. Thumbs up. Stan News, independent outlet to close after senior staff arrested. Where could this possibly happen? That's right, Hong Kong. One of the last pro-democracy media organizations in Hong Kong, Stan News, is shutting down after it was raided by police and senior staff were arrested. Seven people, both current and foreign employees, were detained by Hong Kong police for conspiracy to publish seditious publications. Because of the situation, Stan News is ceasing operations immediately, the organization said in a Facebook post. More than 200 police officers were sent to raid the publication's office. Hong Kong police said in a statement they were authorized to search and seize relevant journalistic materials. In a post on Facebook, Stan News said it would no longer be updating its website and would be removing its social media content within a day. This morning, the police arrested a number of senior and former senior staff of the company and took many people away to assist in the investigation. It adds that computers and documents were seized from its office and that it would be assisting the police with their inquiry. Those arrested, three men and four women, are aged between 34 and 73 years old. They include the former and acting chief editors, Chung Pui Kin and Patrick Lam, as well as pop star-turned-democracy icon Denise Ho, who is a former board member. Other board members, Margaret Ng, Christine Fang, and Chow Tat Chi, were also among those arrested. I gotta say, I wish I knew how to speak Chinese because... man, some of these names have such a sing-songy quality if I could only say them right. The identity of the seventh person detained has not yet been reported. Chief Secretary of Administration John Lee said during a press conference on Wednesday afternoon that he supported the police operation against the news outlet. Anybody who attempts to make use of media work as a tool to pursue their political purpose or other interest and contravenes the law, particularly offenses that endanger national security, they are evil elements that damage press freedom. So, that's a great twist on what press freedom means. It's pretty interesting. Hong Kong will always need journalists. Footage posted on Stan's News' Facebook page showed multiple police officers at the door of Deputy Assignment Director Ronson Chan early Wednesday morning. Mr. Chan was not arrested, but he was taken in for questioning. The night before, Mr. Chan had hosted the annual dinner of the Hong Kong Journalists Association, of which he is a chairperson. In a speech, he referenced the closure of Apple Daily, saying the incident had shaken Hong Kong. He concluded by saying the city would always need the truth and always need journalists, no matter how difficult the road ahead is. The HKJA will not fall down. Which seemed like probably a direct challenge to the regulators there with their police. The WHO chief... We got some more COVID news. I forgot. Human suffering is one thing, but don't forget the COVID suffering. WHO chief warns of tsunami of COVID cases. Infection rates are surging in many parts of the world, fueled by the spread of the highly infectious Omicron variant. The risk posed by the Omicron variant is still very high, the World Health Organization has said, after COVID-19 case numbers shot up by 11% globally last week. Omicron is behind the rapid spikes, the WHO said in its COVID weekly epidemiological update on Wednesday, having overtaken the previous dominant Delta variant in several nations. The update came out after a number of countries reported record high infection figures in recent days. UK records a new record number of infections. The United Kingdom reported 183,037 new COVID-19 cases on Wednesday. If you remember, we're talking about in China, they were upset about 203 cases. So the United Kingdom reported 183,037 new cases and a new record, and over 50,000 more than the previous highest figure government statistics showed. There are also 57 deaths within 28 days of a positive coronavirus test, up from 18 on Tuesday. Flights are being canceled everywhere. It's been found in Libya. Scotland reports another daily record, a high of 15,849 new cases, 4,819 more than the previous high. Portugal reported new daily infection records. U.S. reports new daily infection records. Let's jump over to that. Let's talk about that. France is reporting global COVID-19 infections have hit a record high over the past seven-day period. Reuters data showed on Wednesday, with France, the U.S., and Australia all reporting they had broken their previous daily records According to Reuters, almost 900,000 cases were detected on average each day around the world between December 22nd and 28th, with myriad countries posting new all-time highs over the past 24 hours. France, which already topped Europe with 180,000 new cases per 24 hours on Tuesday, on Wednesday announced they jumped to 208,000. So 208,000 new cases in one day in France. I wouldn't call Omicron a wave anymore. I would call it a groundswell, French Minister Olivier Véran told lawmakers. Given the numbers we've been seeing these past few days, we're talking about a landslide. Véran said, at the current rate, two people in France test positive for COVID every night, every second, noting that the situation in hospitals is worrying. Almost 2 years after China first alerted the World Health Organization to a cluster of viral pneumonia cases of unknown origin in the city of Wuhan, the regularly mutating virus is still wreaking havoc, forcing numerous governments to rethink quarantine and test rules. Speaking of, the U.S. sets record for new daily COVID cases and Omicron surge. What? Another new one? Hi, Raleigh. Welcome, welcome. 7-day average case exceeds 267,000 on Tuesday, beating its January 2021 record of 251. The United States has punched through its record for daily coronavirus cases as the Omicron variant has surpassed Delta in distribution across much of the country. The 7-day average of U.S. cases exceeds 267,000 on Tuesday, beating January 251. The fast-moving Omicron variant now accounts for 59% of new infections, up from 23% a week earlier. Hospitalizations, too, are rising, though not to the extent of previous surges. Around 71,000 people are being treated on Monday, fewer than during the peak of the Delta variant when more than 100,000 people were hospitalized. The surge comes as the CDC controversially cut the number of days infected Americans should remain isolated. Well, let's talk about that real quick. Let's see. Is it in this one? Shucks. I might have cut it because it was mostly the same. Fauci tried to defend the cut as well. But in general, just to give you the short of it, the reason for the CDC cut the window is not related to any health requirements or in medicine or a medical reason. They did it because they expect the infection rate to be so high that so many people have the disease that if they were to quarantine for the 10 days that they would normally at least request, the economy would falter or start falling again, and they don't want society to be struggling, so they would so basically it's those that have sacrificing. Anyway, in my opinion, it's mostly the wealthy who can afford to take time off of work when they're sick, basically saying, you know what, we would rather have our life not inconvenienced by the dying masses of the people. Anyway, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention has revised down its estimates for U.S. infection, saying it previously had said 73% was Omicron, but now it's 59%. Nevertheless, the figures issued Tuesday indicate Omicron is spreading rapidly. Setting aside the question of how an initial estimate was so inaccurate, if CDC's new estimate of Omicron prevalence is precise, then it suggests that a good portion of current hospitalizations we're seeing are still from Delta. The last thing, because we're going to run out of time. I love the CDC. Grew up wanting to work there and have been one of their most ardent defenders. I never dreamed that the day would come when I would advise people not to follow their guidance, Adams said in a tweet on Tuesday. They wouldn't even follow it for their own family. And that was U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams, former U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams, who criticized the CDC. So, yeah. I don't know who you're going to trust. We got probably 20 more news stories, but we ran out of time. So, such is life. Oh, look, my clock and SDF's clock are out of sync. We still have like 30 seconds or so. Let me tell you about some green news that happened. Kenya is turning invasive water hyacinth into cooking fuel. And in the Ukraine, a Canadian firm uninstalled a whole solar power plant.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
for listening.